But the 52 by 20 was money for what?
For being in the service, I guess, until you got a job.
Ah, okay.
So I was very unfortunate. I only drew one paycheck, $120, because Ricky came up to the house and he asked me what I was doing. And he said, nothing. He said, well, why don't you come down with me to up to Bruce's house? And we stopped where the Roman office was for the mines. And we went in there. The pretense that he was going to get a hospital card. And the guy, the Roman agent, asked him what he wanted. He says, I got my little brother here, just came out of the service, I'd like to get a job. Yeah, hard to get there on the spot.
Enrique, when did the union come into your, what was the name of the company? International
Smelter and Refinery. That was part of Inspiration.
Okay, part of Inspiration. When did you get a union? Or when, okay. There were craft unions before.
Mm-hmm.
But when did you all form your union?
Okay, well, I started this year working in 1937. There was no
union. No union.
No union. 1937. Well, in between there, I don't know what happened, but I left. After the 37, I left and I went to California, went around for a few months. But about that time, they were talking about forming a union.
And opening the mine.
And yeah, and so but when I came back, they were already had petitioned for election.
That was in the early 40s when my meal came.
Yeah, that was a little before the war or something like that. Because I was working in that tank house. And it was in the early 40s when I came back. There was already that movement that I was talking about. 300 men already signed up with the
AFL. What did the AFL, why did the AFL union say, yeah, we'll try to get you the 50 cents? Why did they tell you 25?
Well, because that was a way that they, you see, every craft would petition what they wanted or whatever. And then they would get together among themselves and decide what were the goals or not. That's the way they used to work. And when we saw that the system, we wanted to 50 cents. And the crafts got together, they figured that they were going to go for 25 cents.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they were recommending to the
management.
Well, I mean, to the AFL to support that. But we stopped and we won 50 cents.
Tell me about Mine Mill. What was it like when the organizers first came in?
Bill Gately?
Well, Bill Gately came later, but I remember the one that we chased out of town that was met at the labor temple, the first one. He said that you guys won't get an old liner comp that would give 24 hours to leave town. Bill Gately came afterwards.
Well, it would have been within a month, not a year or so after that, because they would come in, the organizers, and they would meet maybe three or four times. They had to come in and maybe rent a room or whatever, and the police. They had an idea of intervention of what the hell was happening. They were kind of arresting these guys. So our meetings were secret meetings. I attended
Gary owned it.
Gary owned it, something like that. It would be, you know, then we would get, we would give it cards. I remember that I had a bunch of cards. Even I were in a way intimidated. I mean, I do what God is. I'm talking about you. And now, even at that time, if we were to talk about union, we would be subject to
fired.
I was, you know, what you would call sort of chop school or whatever, we didn't have any union.
Union rep.
But people, even my mother was afraid that my dad was union. And my mother was kind of afraid. On the old system, when these people from school, whatever, they came in here, they would always come in very timid. They would apply for the job, timid, right? The system of getting there.
Si patroncito. Si patroncito.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they would, after they got a job, they would give them, the women were good at it. Actually, their wives didn't like that stuff, so they had doilies. And that was they would, now I know my mother used to tell us that, tienes que granjear la borda.
You gotta cater to the boss.
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
La borda
viene a ser la comunidad.
¿Cómo?
¿Cómo le nombran a Chichinque?
But a lot of that stuff, a lot of that saying came from my religious. My mother was very religious, and that's what they used to preach to them, you know. So you gotta granjear patrón, you know. So that's why.
I take it that the police were in the company's hands.
Right. Yeah, you're definitely. Now, not only the police, but there was one thing that we did not know until later on. At any time, well, we had a priest that had been here. He was a German priest for a long, many years.
Who was that?
He had been here a long time ago. In fact, later on, well, any new priest that came into the town, the company would meet with him. Now, when I say the company, it's because Mr. Lechesa.
Joe
Lechesa. Martin.
Welch.
All them people in the company were Knights of Columbus or whatever, so they would invite the company. Now what transpired there, I don't know. But we know one thing, that when Father Gregorio, he came in from Spain, he was a young preacher. He was invited to come to all that, and pretty soon he had a brand new car.
You know, at one time, the Mama Copper Company, this Poesia Company, used to supply the power, the electric power, and the water to the church.
Is this a company town here?
Oh, yeah. You could see.
Which, was some people or all people rented from the companies?
Well, Bendai had the town here.
Yeah.
And he was also, he had his own little company. And the water rights and all that. So, the company, the people, now like in, what did they call it? Copper Plants or
Mazarovitz? Yeah, it was Copper Plants.
Okay, Mazarovitz. Right up in the hill. The company inspiration had a company store about it. Some of these people that were working on tank house or whatever, they would build a little shack or a home on company ground. I live on company ground. And they would only charge about $2 within the year. Well, we were living there. We didn't ask permission. We just went and lived in there because somebody was living there and so on. But this company did. They would charge us a couple of dollars.
A year.
A month. So anyway, a lot of them people would live pretty close to where we lived.
This building right across the street used to be the Mama Copper Company store.
Yeah. And then the other one right here in front was the Mexican one here.
The Mexican lamps.
When you go out, you're going to see the Mexican white.
And then you see the Anglo
then
one.
Then you see the
Anglo white.
Or the Christian, whatever.
But did you have to... Did the miners or the people who work here have to buy at the company store, or they could buy at the company store or any place?
They could buy any place.
But the company had more out dressing or whatever and all that. And
you also had credit there.
And that was the whole kind of thing.
And take it out of your paycheck.
Did you ever get a snake? You know what a snake is? Instead of money, they just give you a squiggle. That means you got zero.
No, because
you had your paycheck less deductions. Mm-hmm. Instead of giving you zero, zero became a snake.
Oh, just, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, just something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, no. The system here was, you had the company store inspiration, whatever. So a lot of people would come in into the company store, they had a press chat, and they presented, and they had a co-op register, and all that. And then that would be deducted out of your
salary.
But the company had a rebate every 6 months. So a lot of people would do most of the buying in the company store. There were a lot of people here.
They
would get a snake on their deal.
In other words, they'd have nothing.
They'd have nothing. But they would have, at the end of 6 months, $400 rebate. Because all their money went in there. All their wages.
Mm-hmm.
And they were always looking for the rebate.
It's just like your income tax, you're always looking for the...
Yeah, to get it.
Every 6 months. These guys...
they owned the soul of the company store, but that every 6 months they were depending on that.
Rebate. My rebates were minimal. My bigger rebates were because my sister would borrow. Or somehow another make or buy stockings.
Mm-hmm.
But I never did do much of it.
Would the schools also be influenced or controlled by the company?
Right. Oh, naturally, school board members were company.
In other words, in your history class, you didn't learn about unions?
No, nothing. Because we were a bunch of radicals, Bolsheviks.
Okay.
So that's where the deal of the Bolshevik and our narrative, whatever happened in France or Russia, and always later on they would communicate that we were...
You were Bolshevikis.
And that was now, whatever happened to the word capitalism? In them days, the word capitalism was very common. Guggenheimer, Rockefellers, Esters.
Morgan, the Esters, the Morgans.
And they were always considered as capitalists. Now you don't hear the word capitalist. It's been erased somehow or the other.
You know, when I came to work here, it was in 46, the first thing that I joined the union, which was my mill. And we used to get, we had that AFL-CIO in there.
They were the craft unions,
yeah, the
IBEW
craft.
And those people.
And I mean, we got hired out as laborers in the mine or in the smaller. I went to the smaller, so I got as a laborer. We couldn't go into the AFL jurisdiction, which are pipe fitters, the roller makers, the welders. We were the peons for the labor of the smaller. And we didn't break that ice until 1968. Was that the strike of 68?
The big strike was in 67,
so
you struck the whole copper industry.
Yeah, in 67. That's when we had some guys, Chicanos, filed some papers in federal government. We had a trial in Globe, where they were interviewing all of us. And that's when the ice broke out. That's when they hired a bottle maker. Transferred one of my guys to a fellow paper and to a pipe fitters.
Well, you had at that time then the Civil Rights Act that prohibits discrimination in work.
They didn't go apply by it, see? I applied one day, and remember that I applied for a pipe fitter job. And I went to see one of the bosses. They told me, you gotta go see. So, yeah, I knew there was going to be an opening. So I went and talked to the right guy, and they just kept passing the buck around. Meanwhile, they hired a guy, brand new guy, didn't know nothing any more than I did. At least I knew the operation of the stuff or wherever it was. And it was the president. We wouldn't do it because my name was Pastor. I didn't have the qualifications. That other guy didn't have any more qualifications than I did. They hired him because he was a mangrove.
But at that time, I mean, prior to that, a little before that, the somehow or the other, the dual rate was eliminated.
Yeah.
Remember that, because I remember when I worked in 1937, it was $3.03.
Yeah.
When I went in the work, instead of $2.09. But then, even if there was another labor, the labor union in the Negro, he would be getting more money than that. So, underground, there was a 50-cent difference in a lot of jobs and all that. So anyway, the dual rate was eliminated. That was where the Spanish, Chicano, or whatever, were getting less money.
Well, that's when my mill came in, and they done away with that.
They done away with that. That had to do with the service, because a lot of the boys had been They might went to the service and there's a change.
If they say that Mine Mill was a union that emphasized the social aspect, being socially responsible, social rights, and was also a union that put a lot of emphasis on membership education.
Right, right.
How did you see these play out here at your local?
What I saw, what I could say, was actually first of all, you know, trying to get at the, and then we will educate them what's happening all over the country, like on the block, where they had signs of no Negroes allowed.
Segregation.
Yeah, it means we have the same thing here. We have nothing but white trade only. And things like that. What was happening in the schools, burning of churches and things like that. Ku Klux Klan had done home burglaries. And something that was never taught in the school or was not taught in the school at this time. So then later on, on the political aspect, because I can remember Volvo Larsen, he would tell us the laws that were coming into it, what the laws, how would they would affect us, like what was it, right after the war, this Atlantic Treaty and all that.
Griffin Bill and the Tefardy.
Well, the Tefardy we knew what yeah. was happening, but the laws or all these deals were helping Germany and all that, how eventually it would affect the country. And
Marshall Plan.
Marshall Plan and all that, which later on, whatever. Then we had automation way before overlords and all that, even what was the guy that very radical?
Oh,
Hollowell. He may have been. He was, I liked his system, he was radical. He would meet with the company with me.
This is complete.
And I remember we met with a company one day. One afternoon. I don't know what the case was, whether it was a discharge of a blast or something, anyway, whatever. The AFL representative, well, the company was sitting on that side. The AFL representative on that side. We walked in, Hollowell or whoever, and me, and I don't know who else was there. And we started a discussion, I think it was a discharge or something like that, of what we want. But, funny experience or views on it. Then the AFL representative started speaking to follow up. You shut up. You've got a goddamn thing here. You're only a pawn of any kind. And he told me, you really get that some of the case? So we're walking up. Oh, Mr. Hollowell, and this. Hollowell, right off the bat, he said, listen to Hollowell.
Well, one thing about Mine Mill, they started. They started with a seniority list. And the first part, the last part, in case you had a mail.
they instigated that system. In those days before, I don't remember my father. He was a motorman. And an Anglo came in. He didn't want the dirty job they hired him for. He wanted to be the motorman. So my father-in-law broke him in as a motorman, and then they put him doing the dirty work. And that's what my mills said was really won by seniority. That man's got seniority. He's been there X number of years, so he's a motorman. And the way you promote it up was by seniority. Because in the other days, those guys used to take lunches to the bosses, remember, and go to Calvi and all those, and they would get the good jobs, you know? That's what Nightingale done away with. So he's going to go on this matter, and this is the way he can operate.
Mike, did you attend a lot of courses or participate in their education program?
No, not outside of grievance procedures, educations, and I went to... to the convention in St. Louis. You know, just by being there, you pick up a lot of stuff that you could say self-educated on. You could see where some of the injustices were done. I went to a very controversial convention in St. Louis. That's, I don't know if you remember, the Black Sabbath in Hollywood. They're the ones that made the Song of the Earth.
Yeah, it's a very good film.
And we had up there St. Louis, and that's where I learned a lot of that, you know. I mean, hey, this isn't as bad as it can. And when I came home, the first thing that I went to visit my mother, for some reason or other, and the first thing she brought me up, she says, what are you doing with all those communists? As I say, we were just talking labor business, how to better our lives, how some of the new programs we wanted to get in there, you know, wealth and welfare, and better vacations, and better shift differential. And that's all that was discussed on it. I mean, this business about the unions. And I says, hey, I don't know what a damn communist is at that time. But that was the fear that they put during the McCarthy era, you know.
Yeah.
I happened to be, I was there.
Well, what happened? How do you explain what happened in 1950? The mine mill was
being raided by the United States.
Founded the CIO.
Yeah,
it was one of the founding unions of the CIO. Right. Then, after the fact, afterwards.
1955.
1950, you all were expelled from the CIO.
CIO. Because we were supposed to have been communist dominated. Mm-hmm. And I think the only guy that they actually were going after was Morris Travis, the Secretary of Treasury. But he was never proven that he was communist.
But anybody that belonged to the organization, they
automatically.
You were all branded.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you an incident we had here when this hall, mine mill hall, was just right up here to the pillar. The pillar here. This was the old union hall. Mm-hmm. Mine mill. And then we extended it later. And the office over there, that was going to be a bar. We had to set up for a bar. And I'll never forget. We were going on strike, we were on strike. And I don't know why. They didn't get the bar made up at the kitchen with anything. Somebody or the executive board, or I wasn't at the executive board meeting that time ago, they decided not to have a bar there. So they made it an office and they put a red carpet, of all things.
Yeah.
So the next day, we have a registration here. They have a program that's called Open Line. You can call in and say anything you please. That day, they said, them communists over there, they even have a red carpet in their office.
No, they're not on the office, on their hall.
Yeah.
They were referring to the hall.
To the hall.
Yeah, but this also created a problem for you all, the other unions, right?
Yeah.
Steelworkers were given your jurisdiction.
Well, they weren't given a, well, yeah, in a way, when they, when
well,
they
the came, AFLC and the AFL-CIO,
yeah,
steelworkers had your jurisdiction.
Yeah, eventually, yeah. And, but we were fighting them right along, and then we were also fighting the company, we were also fighting the elk.
Yeah, well, but that strike of 67,
yeah,
that was the year to break my mill.
Became part of steelworkers early 67.
Because of the money resources that they had, so we didn't have that really that much to sustain a legal battle or whatever.
Well, actually, when the International was broke, and we loaned them some money, we had more money than the International.
Look at 586.
How many members did you have?
Well, I think we had some pictures where the hall would be.
Well, we had about, I would say, close to 3,000-4,000 members.
How many do you have today?
The members and the my members actually we have.
No, but the steelworkers.
Steelworkers right now is only
Pinto Valley,
500.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe
that is. Oh, okay. Pinto Valley is Magma, yeah.
Yeah.
BHP.
Yeah.
And Cyprus went non-union.
You're right.
You don't have as many companies, copper companies, as you had before.
No. The only union member, the only.
Oh, well, there's Melbourne. Oh, no, that's Cyprus.
That's Cyprus. But the only ones right now that still is
Kennicutt.
Kennicutt, Grayson,
Asarco,
Second Mile, and
yeah. You mentioned Salt of the Earth. It's a very good film. I've got a copy of it. Watched it before I came up here. You know, get refresh one's mind. There are two things that are interesting. One is the guys go on strike, partly because of the negotiations aren't going anywhere, but partly because they eliminated the helper.
Right.
You didn't have anybody to watch your back.
Right.
And so you were blasting, and people didn't know you were blasting, and there were all sorts of problems. Second thing was the women got ticked off because they didn't have running water in the house, and they didn't have
inside toilets.
There was discrimination. Abe, how did that movie affect, or how did that strike and movie, what impact did it have in this area?
I'd say
we had a lot of members. So we just started carrying members. We had some good union meetings. We probably have 200-300.
Whenever
when there was an issue of negotiations.
There was an effect.
Yeah. There was an incident that happened here when Holloway was here. The high school, or the school board, this is just about the civil rights movement stuff.
Early 60s.
Yeah. They have I told you about William Blythe's crew was from Mexicans.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they were going to desegregate. So the school board figured, well, we've got to do it. And some of our members are going to have to go to William Blythe.
Mike. Well, when did you say this deal happened?
He did. It'd be the late 50s then.
Yeah.
Probably late 50s.
The only reason I say it, because it brings up in my mind what happened to me. Me, Henry, Bernada, I don't know, bunch of groups. There was a group in William Plaza or in the class,
yeah.
And there was about 10 of us.
But that was way early before.
And then there was you. Tomorrow, or early in the morning, you go to this place in school. We walked from Bullet Club to this place in school.
But this was the big movement when the
Bill of Rights.
This would have been after the Supreme Court decision.
Right.
So what I'm trying to say is that they all knew that they had a feeling that they were coming. Inspiration was only reading that in the past, some of the kids, they lived close to the school. So naturally, we were the only ones. The rest of them were angry. So that's when they got five into the... And I remember we were sitting there with Fish, was the name of the teacher. We were sitting there waiting, nobody there but us. And she was explaining the system of what we had there. So the bell rang, and pretty soon you hear the commotion, and somebody opened up the door. They were coming into the class. The first thing, Florence Carter, she was a descendant of French or whatever. She walked in the store, in the class. She said, "Oh, Mexicans!" That was the first thing.
Yeah. And
you know what I was referring to?
Yeah, you're talking about probably the late 50s something
when
in there.
Yeah, the civil rights came. See, and the point is that we went, Talawa, Marcon, myself, De Marqueros, and several. We went to a school board meeting because they were going to have to segregate. They were going to change, they wanted to change the name of William Plaza School. They wanted to change it to a platoon school. 238.
What was the name of the school?
Willie Plaza. Because we fought for it. And the only reason we figured and we argued on it, that the only reason they wanted to change the name was because that school was known throughout the community and throughout the state that it was a Mexican school. And we fought it, and it stayed as William Plaza School. And up to this day, it's still William Plaza School.
It's no longer a school.
No, well, it's no longer a school. It closed. That's when we went to the school, but when they changed it, so they said, "Well, my boys wanted that to be 38.
Well, actually, they wanted to tear it up.
Yeah.
So now that's one thing that I would advise you to take a picture of that school. Take a picture of the
YMCA.
Take a picture of the YMCA. And you can take a picture of the company too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
in this deal, in this letter,
yeah.
When the United States Workers of America, that was right after we came from St. Louis. Chavez, the one that had the one arm.
They were good?
No, Chavez.
Yeah, and McCurry was included at that time.
Well, yeah. But then there was the other guy. Anyway, he was at the convention. I met him. And when he went back to El Paso, he was working for the steelworkers. I went to El Paso. Me, Jose Martinez, De Marqueros. And there was a guy from my father at Mine Mill Properties that went down there to speak. We have a Mine Mill. And we even went to see this bishop to tell him that the Lord would not lead us through the church. One of the strongest places is the church. To convince people, they were putting out to get out of my mail because there was a communist dominated union and blah, blah, blah. And we went to talk to this bishop to please refrain from
publicizing this stuff, but we didn't tell our members not to go make it a church and all that. Anyway, the day of the election, they wouldn't let us go to the Union Hall, just the guys who wanted to vote. We all mingled down on the street, all the guys from Morency, Bisbee, Douglas, and Ray, and all of those places. But they let a priest into that meeting to speak against my name.
Where was this vote taking place?
In El Paso.
At the smelter?
No, in the Union Hall there. I don't know the street anyway. And we told the guys there that if we won the election, to come out, open the window, it was a two-story building, and to show us a white handkerchief that we won. And I'll never forget. And then we were going out, this little priest, a young priest, walking down the stairs, and he had tears in his eyes.
You knew he had lost.
And I told him, Father, I was brought up sort of semi-religion. I told him, tell shit, Father, you blew it. But I remember this very good. Hey, FBI guys all over the street taking pictures of cameras, you know, all of us mingling up there in the street, you know, waiting for the...
Did you know Juan Aranda?
I've heard that name before.
Mine Mill, now Steelworkers.
Yeah, well, you know, I knew like White Chacon and Chet Smotherman.
Clint
Jinks.
Well, let me ask you this. You would have contracts every how many years? 3 years? Something like that?
No, at that time it was just about every year, right?
Every year we had.
You'd have a contract. Now, did these accusations hurt you in the contract negotiations?
No. But down deep, it probably planted a seed or something, you know.
You know, it seems, I go to that bank of companies. You know, and when the temporary law came in effect, the first of the year, the first week of the year, we had to come here and sign on to come to 17.
Explain that. I know a little about it. I've just seen reference to it.
I was just saying that you weren't a communist.
That was when we had all this crap going in Washington about the communism and all that.
McCarthyism.
And we had to sign. I know I did sign.
All the officers.
All the officers. Because I
had to sign.
Trustee. Because of the law, I think the deal was Washington or whatever, they passed the law that every communist had to register or something like that.
Yeah. This was just to say that we won.
Yeah, that's right.
Because then they could say, well, they could prove that we were a communist, well, then we would say, no, we would be lying and all that. You know, when they had all these kinds of hearings over there.
When you would negotiate, what did you negotiate in the 50s?
Number one was wages.
Okay.
Number two was safety. To supply with safety equipment and stuff like that. Vacation.
Better working conditions.
Better working conditions. Hospital.
Okay, medical and all that was also included in the first deals.
All those things were chief differentials. And then in the absentee program, you know, you have the
grievance procedure, this type of
procedure.
But you see, our members, they were always, the main thing, they always were talking about wages. Anything that came up with, medical or anything like that, that was the second thing.
Pensions? They didn't pay pensions?
Well, the pensions were slow at coming up until the last. But they always, whenever we wanted something good, like on medical, they would always prefer money now.
We used to go, they used to have the clinic up here in town, right down top of the bank. Then the Penicillin came out. They used to charge us for penicillin share $5. And mine, yeah, was $2 or whatever. Cut it down. Cut it down to $2.50. And then, when we went into the pension, Pinsky.
Well, actually, the charts were $1 pension.
Yeah, but I mean, but
you negotiated it down.
Yeah, we kept bringing it down, see? And then it was $1 when Pinsky came here with a medical plan.
We wanted a medical plan at that time.
A good medical plan. And this was a consultant for the Kaiser. From San Francisco, and this son of a gun cost us $100 a day. Again, negotiated the payment. And we found out that's when we done away with the penicillin deal, because it only cost 2 cents. And then the company was saying that to have the nurse administer it, it would cost $1, you know. So we brought it, we done away with it, and then the whole medical plan came in. As a matter of fact, this place, he looked like Peter Lorre. Yeah, he was a type.
When did you get your medical plan? What year, more or less? 50s?
Around there.
Yeah.
No. It'd have to be after the strike. 67.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, the membership was interested in wages, and then everything else was secondary.
Yeah.
What was the work system? Did you all have any say in the work system, or were you just there to do the work?
Well, later on they had a safety committee formed by most of the guys that, well, selected. Then there was only one company.
No, but what was the atmosphere at work? Was it one where...
Well, they liked it because then they had a saying on it.
Now, what were you trying to...
No, what was the atmosphere at work? Okay, you've got here Pinto Valley, Magma, BHP, where you have a different system, where people participate, think, give ideas. This is new. But what was the system like before? Was the workers... have the expression, park your head at the gate, pick it up when you leave because you're here to work, de los hombros para abajo. Was that the same system here?
Well, now that you bring that up, I think that one of the times when I was working in on the labor gang of Vince Mason, because I moved around. Different jobs and all. Okay. I was fired from my alma mater because I was a tough guy.
They had the goods on you, huh?
So, anyway, no problem, I got drunk. So, anyway, I got a job, an inspiration. And I remember. There was a few days, because I worked at my alma mater, and it had rained and all that, since we were out on the surface. Sometimes we didn't go to work because of the weather, and it was excusable. So my mother said, "Are you going to work?" I said, "Yes." It was raining a bit. I got my lunch, I walked down to the bottom of the hill. Next day, the day was clear, and I wonder what it was called. What the hell is this guy? Bodine?
Yeah, Bodine worked at Inspiration.
Yeah, no, but it's not Bodine.
Oh.
Anyway, I went to work, got my card and everything. He was the head of that department. graduated in February.